Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you here. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. I have a high-functioning brain.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Jeff Lutz.
Goodness gracious, you're really struggling today. If I had said that, I mean, I'd be kicked off the show permanently.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Thursday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. Jeff Lutz with me today. Max Power, producing engineering, 869-1240. We've had a full allotment of shows this week for the first time in a while due to Royals afternoon games. How you holding up?
I don't know. A little slippage yesterday. By you or?
Nah, a little by you.
I was awesome yesterday. I don't know what you're talking about.
It is a little different. We're back here tomorrow.
Crazy. He's got to get one day off, right?
Right and early. Now, no show next Wednesday. But then after that, it's a...
August 14th.
All bets are off.
August 13th.
I don't know. August 14th. Fewer and fewer day games for the Royals.
It's move-in day. I got to see about some stuff on August 14th.
Why? What? That's the day the Aaron heads up to K-State?
Yeah.
What are you checking?
Just checking some stuff.
Like what? The date?
The day of the week and stuff. Just don't worry about
Wednesday.
It.
Wednesday. What are you checking?
Don't worry about what I'm checking.
Are you going to be up there?
Of course I'm going to be up there. What are you talking about?
Well, don't get angry.
What kind of ridiculous question is that?
I didn't know if you could get off work.
Of course. I've had that day off for a while.
Well, are we invited?
No.
Really? The grandparents aren't invited.
I have no idea what the situation. You want to come?
Well, I don't know about that. I just wondered if we were invited.
But do you want to come? I kind of want you to, but it's for a reason I'll have to discuss with you off the air.
No, I want you to discuss it on the air.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
Why?
Because I don't want to.
Is it vile?
There's a person involved who does not want grandparents there, and that doesn't come from our side. So I'd like I'd like you to show up and just see what this person does.
Well, we'll talk about it off the air.
I'd like to see this person try to remove you from the situation.
Well, what do you think would happen?
I don't think it would go well for this person.
Probably not, but hey, I'm not in the kind of fighting mode I used to be in back in the day.
Well, that's unfortunate.
You know what I mean?
Not really, but I guess.
Well, I'm almost 70 years old.
Guardians are about
to get
out again.
My hand might shatter.
I understand, but one or two might be worth it.
Maybe it would be a forearm shiver, although then my forearm would shatter.
Would shiver. It would shiver a lot.
It would shatter.
It would shiver first, though, probably.
Here's what we have for you today on the show. Another jam-packed day. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. One of our go-to guys. He'll be on at 2:25 to talk about the Chiefs and training camp and where that's all headed and what it's looking like. At 2:45, Mark Blackham. He is the general manager and owner of the Hutchinson Monarchs. They begin play today in the NBC World Series. They are the defending champion. They knocked off Santa Barbara last year to win it. And we'll get an update from Mark Blackham. And then at 3:25, former Fort Hays State standout basketball player, Annette Wiles, will join us. She is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October. Ceremonies in Topeka this year. So that's what it looks like for the show. Last night, the Royals blew one in the late innings.
That's what I saw.
Did you get yours?
Yeah, but who cares?
You're losing today, though.
Yeah, can't score. This is a team that...
Well, you're going to split the series with Detroit.
Doesn't know what it's doing. They have the best record in the American League, and they're not even good. Does that make any sense to you?
Sure, because you can look at every team and say, during a stretch of time, they're not good.
Yeah, but we're going
on. Name a team that has been good all season long.
Phillies, I would say.
No, they've been pretty poor lately.
They've been about 500.
No, they've been worse than that. They've been pretty poor lately. Now, for 3 months, they were unbelievable. But every team goes through ups and downs. Phillies right now certainly have a great record, but they're only 4-6 in their last 10 games.
I hear you, but I'm saying that their poor stretch has been close to 500 or around there. It's not up to par with what they'd been doing. The Guardian stretch is well below 500. And
well, the Phillies are a better team than the Guardians.
Who cares? We play them this weekend.
They're going to kill you.
I sure hope so. And then maybe we can just sickening.
The Phillies, you're getting them at a decent time, I suppose. 5-7, 5-8, 6-9, 8-12. They've lost 9 of their last 14 games. So they're 5-9. That's not close to 500. That's a pretty poor record over the last
2 weeks. I'm talking about a longer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Since they're like high watermark, they're basically a 500 team.
They're 5-9.
Okay.
That's a stretch of games.
It's 2 weeks.
Which they haven't played well.
And it's 2 games. If they would have won, they'd be fine.
And they're still obviously in good shape because they're a superior team, but they've had a bad spell. Just like the Guardians are going through now, and you're throwing them away.
It's not. I'm not talking about 2 weeks. I'm talking about over a month. And
you knew your team lacked offense. They were overachieving for a while.
How do you overachieve if you can?
Because every team does at times.
But how? I don't understand. If you can do it, it's not overachieving. It's just achieving. It's just being what you are.
No, you settle to the mean. You settle to the median, what you really are. Over 162 games, once you get to the 162, you have a very clear,
I guess,
look at what kind of team you have.
Well, I still don't consider it overachieving.
That's why they're always these teams are always trying to improve. Nobody feels comfortable. The Phillies are going to go out and make deals. They don't feel like they've got it figured out.
Well, they're going to be in the playoffs. They're trying to make moves.
Well, you're going to be
win
in the
World
playoffs.
Series. I don't know that the Guardians are going to be in the playoffs.
Really? It's going to get that bad?
It might.
Well, that's a fatalistic view.
Just going by what I see, some of these were promoting some young guys that have really started to struggle, some managerial decisions. Like just now, pinch hitting Daniel Schneeman, an awful decision.
I thought you liked Schneeman.
But you could have had
Wait a minute, a week ago you loved Schneeman.
You could have had Noel against.
He was on Seinfeld.
You could have had Noel against a righty. Can I just talk? Good God.
Remember when he used to come to Seinfeld's door?
I don't care about Schneeman.
Schneeman! Go ahead.
It's not even close.
Go ahead.
No, I don't want to.
I love your frustration.
Well, stop talking over me.
Go ahead.
No, there's nothing to talk about now.
The moment has
passed.
I'm curious to hear what you had to say.
Well, it could have been John Kinsey Noel against a righty or Schneeman against a lefty.
I thought you liked Schneeman.
Good God, man. Can I talk? Schneeman can't hit lefties. Noel can hit righties occasionally. He strikes out a bunch, but he can hit. Schneeman doesn't hit lefties.
What's his average against lefties?
I don't know, but
he's hitting a robust 221.
And he just struck out.
These are the people you have. They can't bring in Rocky Colavito. I'm sorry.
They shouldn't be playing Schneeman.
Now you're making fun of him.
Yeah, he sucks.
For weeks you defended him.
He was playing well.
And now, so a guy goes bad and you're done with him.
Correct.
That's a horrible fan.
You got to be good
to be in my good graces.
No. If Jose Ramirez goes bad, it's different. If Josh Naylor goes bad, it's different. If a guy with no track record goes bad, bye-bye. Who's next?
Well, that's just a shame to hear. And Detroit's no joke.
They're kind of a joke.
Who are they pitching today?
They pitched a bullpen game.
Tim Holton?
Tyler
Holton? Gosh, you got 4 hits against Holton, Lucas, Fieto, Foley, and Chafin. That's embarrassing. No offense, but I mean,
it's
come on.
It's been an embarrassing stretch.
Bullpen games are the worst because if you don't pound them, you look ridiculous. And the Tigers are basically saying, sorry, we don't have the pitching for today.
Well, this is the second time they've done this in the series.
Come get us.
Essentially. First game and this game.
And those are the games they won, by the way.
Yeah.
They're only up 3-0 today, although we are going to the eighth.
It's
over.
Good
luck to you.
It was over once. You know, they gave up a 3-run homer, too?
No, I don't know.
This will make you laugh. Javi Baez.
That's first since April.
Of 2009.
No, it's first since April. Second of the year. Talk about a guy who washed out. Javi Baez, why is he still playing?
Because they owe him a ton of money.
I get it, but good grief, he's hitting 178. He has now 28 RBIs. 178. This guy was at one time, I don't know if he was a superstar, but he looked like he was on the verge of being.
Finished second in MVP voting.
He looked like he was on the verge of being a superstar.
Yeah, he was exciting. He was flashy, fun. Never was he didn't walk a lot. He wasn't a huge on-base guy, and he did strike out a lot.
There's probably
so that dragged him down a little, but he still was a decent hitter.
There's probably something to be said for the notion that sometimes when you pay a guy, he just stops caring. Or stops being – maybe stops caring is too strong, but stops
working.
He was
declining.
Stops working as hard as he did to get there.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe he just says, you know what? And I don't think this is obviously a great character thing, but I think there are probably guys that, oh my God, I'm making $26 million. How much is he making?
I think he signed for like six for 140. Don't even quote me on that. I don't know if that's right.
Well, I mean, unless you just have, and most of these guys do have tremendous pride and will, and they're motivated to be the very best they can be. But I got to believe that every once in a while somebody gets that kind of money and just says, I'm set.
Somehow 6 for $140 was correct.
Well, good for you.
Here's a list of players who are making $20 million or more and have negative WAR this season. Would you like to guess?
No, I don't want to guess. I'm not into that.
Anthony Rendon, Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Nick Castellanos, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo,
you?
Two more, Jordan Montgomery and Javi Baez.
Can I stop you? Read those again, because that's an unfair indictment on some of these people.
Anthony Rendon.
Yeah, that's a fair indictment.
Blake Snell.
Unfair.
Joe Musgrove.
Unfair.
Nick Castellanos.
Borderline fair.
Chris Bryant.
Not real fair. He's been injured.
Anthony Rizzo.
Not fair. I mean, that to me, he's been injured. He's just getting old. It was a bad contract, but I don't blame Anthony Rizzo.
Jordan Montgomery.
No, unfair.
Javi Baez.
Fair.
So two guys, it was fair.
Rendon and Baez.
And sort of fair for Castellanos, whose skill set doesn't lend itself to war.
Yeah, they should have never paid him that much, first of all. He was never worth that much.
No, he wasn't.
He's a good player when he's good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. He's been serviceable.
In that Phillies
solid
lineup, he's a good player.
Yeah. They
don't need him to do a ton.
They can afford to have him in the lineup every day.
And occasionally he'll get hot. He was just on a hot streak.
He hit a bunch of doubles when he was good. It was like a 20-25 home run guy. So, yeah, you could see the idea of wanting to pay him, but he's bad defensively. And his game has some holes in it.
He's not a great player, but he's had pretty good years. He's hitting .242 with a .707 OPS, a negative WAR guy, 14 homers. But in that lineup, you can hide Nick Castellanos. You know, you don't worry about it.
Yeah, but they're starting to hide a few guys now.
Who else are they hiding?
Rojas.
Well, he's a defensive player.
I hear you. I've looked at their lineup. They have two or three. Not, it's not bad. Every team has two or three guys that are OPS.
Well, but when you have Trey Turner and you have Bryce Harper and you have Alec Bohm and you have Kyle Schwarber, you got room to hide some people.
Sure.
I mean, those are all, even though Schwarber's not having the year he had last year, he's hitting for a better average, 238, which
pretty good for him.
Below 200, but he had 50 homers last year.
It's crazy. Did he get to 50? That's amazing.
Yes. Now he's got 19. So, yeah.
Weird player.
Royals, as we talked about, their bullpen blew it up last night. What's the kid's name, the closer?
Sure, Schneider. I don't know who's closing games for them.
Schreiber, you're thinking, and it's not him.
I don't know who
it's
closes.
It's the guy they've had their, all year long as their closer for the most part.
I don't know.
He came along. I mean, what? Why don't you know these things?
Because I don't know a lot of
stuff.
Make you
make me look bad when you don't know things.
I don't care.
I'm seriously.
I don't care about making you look bad.
But you make it strange that I look bad. James MacArthur. How would I not remember that? He was an actor on Hawaii Five-0. Why do you outwardly moan?
Because nobody gets
show?
That reference anymore.
My fans do.
Your people aren't listening.
So 60 and over aren't listening.
They've long since abandoned us.
60 and over aren't listening anymore.
That's correct.
869-1240.
If you know how to use a phone and you're 60,
if you're 60 or over, call us right now. We got a few minutes till break. We're going to get into some guests. I'm asking for someone 60 or over to call the show and tell us why you listen. And you listen for references like I just made.
No one cares about James MacArthur from Hawaii Five-0.
That, to me, that struck a chord with me.
There was no one listening who went, oh, yeah, him. Nobody. I mean, I guess you should be proud of yourself on some level that you know who that is and have the recall to say it here on this show. But for everybody else, there's nothing much going on.
By the way, Dylan Cease has 8 no-hit innings against the Washington Nationals today.
Really?
They come to town to St. Louis tomorrow, the Nationals. So he'll no-hit them today, and he'll get 23 hits tomorrow.
Probably. That's usually how it works, right?
That's always how it works. Still 3-0 Tigers, as you can tell by Jeff's moaning.
It's pretty bad.
I love it.
Pretty bleak.
I love it. Just because of what it does to you. You give up on them.
They're not good.
And then in a week, if they go 5-2 in their next 7 games, you're back. And it's just no wonder Duda avoids you.
Duda, I'm so sick of Duda.
By the way, I texted him yesterday, and he immediately got back to me and said, yeah, I'll be there.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
He did not send more than 2 words to you.
Well,
he sent me a thumbs up. That makes me sick. And I know that's why he does it. But have some.
Are you meeting us Friday? Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. What do you want him to say?
That's fine. But he said, what time to me? And I said, 4:30. And he sent a thumbs up. Does that mean you're coming?
Well, to me, that means, yeah, I'll be there.
That's not what that means to me.
What does it mean?
That means I'm blowing you off. I don't care. I'm not even going to take the time. You are not worth words. You are only worth a...
Do you think that's how Jason Duda feels about you?
No, I think that's how he feels about just about everyone.
No, I'm not talking about everyone. I'm talking about you.
Yes, I do.
So to you, in Jason Duda's mind, when he gets that text, it's like, I'll just...
I'm not... This guy's not even worth words.
Let me hit a thumbs up for this
guy's
guy.
Not even worth an actual answer to a question.
Let's get to Russ, who's holding. Russ, I presume you're 60 or over?
I would be 61, and I got your reference. Wasn't he Dano on Hawaii Five-0?
Correct.
Good job, guys.
Love that show.
Very good. Well, yeah, and it brought back a nice memory for you, didn't it?
It sure did. That's why I listened to the show. Thanks, guys.
And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here, to help people like you, Russ. Thank you.
We appreciate
the call. That's all we needed. What are you getting so angry about over there now?
Just
I hope you guys I really hope the Guardians go into a free fall.
Why did...
Because you deserve it.
Why did Bo Naylor start against a left-handed pitcher?
You're the kind of fan who... Nobody cares.
If you're going to pinch hit for him against
caring?
A left-handed pitcher in the bottom of the
eighth
inning.
You want to know something nobody cares about?
You're the one who asked about it earlier.
I'll tell you what nobody cares about, including Russ and everyone else.
I don't care about Russ.
Oh, yeah, now we're going to throw...
If Russ texted me, I'd send him a thumbs up.
Now we're going to insult Russ.
No, I love Russ, but I just don't...
What we're going to do now is take a break for this guy to try to gain some composure.
It's not going
to
happen.
His team's terrible.
Exactly.
And I hope they're terrible for many years to come.
Me too.
I do.
Me too.
You're awful. You're a terrible fan.
You don't have to deal with this garbage.
We'll be back. We'll talk with Jesse Newell from The Star. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City Star. We're going to talk about the Chiefs and their training camp. We also have one eye, Jesse, on Dylan Cease's bid for a no-hitter here with the Padres. He's got one out now in the ninth inning. So we'll divide our attention slightly, but you are the main event. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
We're doing okay. We're hanging in there. Of course, this is the time where the NFL ramps up with training camp. A lot of Chiefs talk. We're going to hear a ton about this pursuit of a three-peat. It's going to carry a lot of the season for Kansas City. What kind of team do you think they have in place to pursue that? It sounds like an easy question, but how likely is it that they'll be in the mix for this?
Yeah, I think, fortunately, unfortunately for the Chiefs, like they've made this look pretty easy the last 2 years. You know, it's not easy to win a Super Bowl. There's a lot of good teams out there, and even if you're one of the favorites, I mean, the math would tell us, the betting odds would tell us, you're never better than about 15 or 20% going into the playoffs to win this sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, this is tougher than the Chiefs have made it look. I mean, even last year they had all the regular season struggles and the game against the Raiders on Christmas. They really struggled, you know, couldn't do anything offensively. We're handing the ball to the Raiders for pick sixes and touchdowns. And so, I think it's probably lower odds of the Chiefs doing this for a three-peat, but obviously, you know, it's never been done in NFL history for a reason, which is they've got a chance to do it, and that's something, and that's you're right, Bob, that's going to be the narrative, what people are going to focus on the entire season, because there's just not been many chances where a team has actually had a chance to do this. It looks like he just completed that no-hitter.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah. That's crazy for Dylan Cease. That's big-time stuff, and rare that the pitcher actually gets to stay in to be able to do this. So 111 pitches.
114 pitches. Yeah, nobody does that anymore, but they did.
114, yeah, there you go. But, I mean, for the Chiefs, you know, kind of big picture-wise, I think what they need to focus on, and this is sort of what we heard from camp from them, is offense year to year is the most stable, and defense can kind of come and go. It's hard to keep yourself at the top. So the defense was amazing last year, but a couple injuries, and you could definitely see the Chiefs falling off a little bit defensively, but offensively is where really they've buttered their bread for so long with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I think the goal this year is to get back to being a number one or number two offense. And what we've seen from these receivers, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, some of the new additions they have, the potential is there to bring the deep ball back to the offense. And if that happens, then I could definitely see them getting back to that sort of level. So for them to do this and to get the three-peat, I think the offense is going to have to take a major step from what it was last year, just because I don't think you can bank on the defense being this good as it was a season ago, but I definitely think the Chiefs have the pieces to do it.
Is the best outcome for training camp for the Chiefs just to have the most boring training camp? I mean, there's not, you know, that many position battles, it doesn't seem like. There's no holdouts that I know of. People are coming in generally healthy. There's not a ton outside of that overarching can they three-peat storylines. So is there anything like that we should be particularly looking at during this training camp?
A couple things. You know, one thing I would say for sure is the left tackle battle. And Sam McDowell, actually, our columnist here at The Star, and he has been reading with the Eagle, obviously, as well, but he came up he did the research on this, and this was fascinating. He looked at teams that have won a Super Bowl that go the next season and start a left tackle who is a rookie, and how often that's been done. And he found the instance that it was either two or three that a left tackle that was a rookie played more than half the season for a reigning Super Bowl champ. And how many times a guy started every single game a left tackle as a rookie for a Super Bowl champ? Zero. It's never happened in history. And so, to me, that's pretty crazy because the early indications we saw in the summer when they threw Kingsley Suamataia in there at left tackle and had him run with one above Wanya Morris was they want him to win this job. You know, they want him to be the tackle of the future and stop the musical chairs that started with Orlando Brown that moved on to Donovan Smith last year. You know, there was some rumblings early on. Maybe Juwan Taylor could make the switch, and then they kind of put that to bed. But it would be nice for the Chiefs to have some security at left tackle because they really have not had that over the past few years. But we get here to training camp, and Wanya Morris has started out with the first team on every single rep. So I don't know what's going on there yet. I think we have to make something that Kingsley was with the ones sometime in the summer that they want him to win the job or they potentially have high hopes for him. But then the incumbent coming in, the second-year player Wanya Morris out of Oklahoma, being first team to start with, I think we read something into that as well. But that, to me, is a big thing. Just that left tackle spot, because the Chiefs are trying to pull off something here that really no team in the NFL has ever done. Having said all that, it helps that Patrick Mahomes, he takes fewer sacks than anybody. He has such good pocket awareness. So maybe the bar is a little bit lower there than some other teams. But, yeah, will Kingsley win that job? Will Wanya win that job? And if Kingsley does, you know, can the Chiefs pull off this kind of crazy feat of trying to not only load up at that position and have a starter for the foreseeable future, but also have a guy that can go in and try to win, you know, try to three-peat things here this year as well.
Yeah, that's extremely interesting. We're talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star about the Chiefs. So my take, and I'm certainly not on the ground like you guys are, but it looks to me like Patrick Mahomes went into this camp intent on adding to his arsenal in the way he can. And he's really, in my view, again, you'll either confirm or deny this, he's really working with Xavier Worthy to make him noticeable. I know he threw the big bomb to him the other day that was all over social media. How important is that combination, the long ball threat to this young guy? How important is that to the Chiefs offense?
I mean, it's about everything. What's interesting about Xavier is if you go back a couple years ago, the Chiefs took Sky Moore in the second round. And again, this is not a fair comparison, but they took him in the second round. He missed OTAs with a hamstring injury. He missed mandatory minicamp with a hamstring injury. Then he started in training camp, tried to get reports after Mahomes. It just never really worked out. Now, he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you kind of heard whispers Super Bowl week is like, hey, the Chiefs would have really loved to have him earlier on gain chemistry with Patrick Mahomes, okay? Fast forward to this year, Xavier Worthy, they trade up in the first round to get him at 28th overall, has a hamstring injury, misses OTAs, misses mandatory minicamp. So, again, I'm kind of flashing back. Like, I remember people after the season, or towards the end of the season, saying, oh, man, it really hurt him to not build rapport with Patrick Mahomes in those early practices, and that showed up late in the season. So I kind of thought, oh, man, you know, is this going to happen with Xavier Worthy? So he goes out there on that Sunday, that first full squad practice for the Chiefs, and catches that bomb. And I want you guys to go back to the video and watch Matt Nagy at the bottom of your screen, the coordinator for the Chiefs, 46 years old. He's doing dance moves he hasn't done in like 20 years. I mean, this guy is just going bonkers because he's like, he hasn't seen a route like that be completed by the Chiefs since he got back to them last year. And so the possibility just opens up for the Chiefs to be able to go deep, have a receiver who can track it, take a correct route, and catch it. All those implications are enormous. What happened after that? Xavier Worthy's missed the last 3 days with sickness. So he hasn't been out there to get those on-field reps with Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs partly took him because of his smarts, because of his football IQ. They're teaching him all three positions, which is a big thing for their offense. It's just right now they need him on the field. They need him to be out there with Mahomes to get some of that chemistry, or otherwise it's going to look a little bit less good, to put it in simple terms, in the regular season. So I think they are just enticed by what he potentially can do, and Hollywood Brown as well, to be able to track the ball down the field, catch the ball down the field, and open up things by doing that for guys underneath like Kelce and Rasheed Rice. they just need rest between Mahomes and Xavier Worthy, and right now they're not getting enough of those. And so we'll see. The bats come on tomorrow at practice, and we'll see if Xavier Worthy wins the team again, if he gets back out there. And if so, again, they're going to try to fire it to him because they need to kind of make up for some lost time.
Yeah, speaking of reps, how many receivers do you think they'll break camp with? And more particularly, who will they be? We know the top three, but it feels like guys like Watson, Tony, Hardman, Sky Moore, Justin Ross, they might be completely unique players, but they feel interchangeable to me. What could their roles potentially be? And is there anyone behind them that has maybe a little bit of a higher ceiling that the Chiefs can afford to get a look?
Yeah, this will be a fascinating one. Definitely, Jeff, and one to track during camp. So all these guys are a little bit different. And let's kind of go over them one by one just very briefly. So Justin Watson, I think he's a lock. He had a foot injury yesterday at practice. He walked off on his own power, but then got in the front seat of a cart and drove back up, waiting on an injury update from him. But like, that's the sort of thing that could open up a roster spot. I expect the Chiefs to keep receivers. They got 7 last year. That seemed like one too many. They've been on 5 in the past. So we'll see. But I would say 6 is kind of probably the magic number for this.
Jesse, always our pleasure when you come on the show. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you? Your connection is
yeah, he's still talking, but I think we have a bad connection.
Oh, am I still there?
I think he is still talking, but he disappeared.
No, he's there. Keep going, Jesse. I think we can hear you now.
I'm so sorry. I'll go real quick. Sky Moore hasn't had a great camp, but I think he's fifth. I think he's locked in, and he's an asset for the Chiefs. They got him a couple more years. Been in the system, all those sorts of things. But to the other guys, Mecole Hardman, I don't know. He's kind of redundant from Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy. So we'll see about him. A dark horse to watch, Nico Remigio. He is a guy that got out all last year after having surgery. He's a second-year player, undrafted free agent. But he's got everything right for the Chiefs. Potentially could be their kickoff returner, one of their two kickoff returners as well. So definitely watch that battle and see what happens on the back end there. But also watch to see how serious this injury is for Justin Watson. Went down with a foot injury yesterday at practice.
Well, now I'm going to tell you how much we appreciate you coming on the show as frequently as you do. Your insights are great. Thank you, Jesse. We'll catch up with you before kickoff, okay?
Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. I was hearing just fine. He's his connection dropped.
Right, but he was still there.
Well, I understand that. I thought he was done talking.
He was not.
Well, I thought he was because I stopped hearing him.
Right. And but you heard the in and out, and the fact that he was about to address the statuses of 5 wide receivers and had only talked about one should have been hence.
Well, I was surprised because Jesse always gives us more than a complete answer.
Right.
He's not shy about talking. So I was under the assumption that either he was done or that his signal had fallen off completely, and I was going to give him an out. And this is why I run the show.
And that was not a good decision either way.
This is why I am in charge, because...
Because you miscalculated what happens?
I got to make quick decisions over here. I'm not sitting over there...
But that was not a well-timed decision. It was not a good
decision. I don't have time
decision.
To check my phone. See how my team's doing. I got decisions. Look at this. I wish people could see Control Central here.
I don't care. Will Brennan's.
What do you mean you don't care?
Because you're not saying anything. Be real with the audience. You're sitting in front of a computer, and that's it. Just be real with our audience. There's nothing else.
What do you call this?
It's a desk.
I'm pounding my desk. What about this baby? That's a printer.
What would that be needed for on this show?
I don't know. May have to print something someday.
Probably not.
During the show. I may need to print your little letter of termination.
Oh, sweet. Let's do that now.
What are you upset with now?
A team that can't hit.
Mark Blackham joins us from the Hutchinson Monarchs. He is the general manager, owner of that team. They had a huge 2023, culminated with winning the NBC World Series, knocking off the Santa Barbara Foresters, and they've carried it over into 2024, winning the Jayhawk League regular season championship. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you guys are on a roll right now. You've got things going over there in Hutchinson. Tell us a little bit about what happened. How did you guys figure out this summer baseball thing? And what are the things you've done to make this such a viable organization?
You know, it's been 15 years of work in progress, but you know, we've built some nice relationships over the years with some different schools that continue to send us players, and my support staff in Hutch is phenomenal, clear down to the host families and the people that work for us at the stadium. And we try and do things a little bit different. You know, we've always said we're going to run a college program and try and do it like a minor league organization and make it fun for the fans while making it, you know, economical for them to get in and have a night out as well.
So how did last year's championship affect, if at all, the way you approach this summer and recruiting and things like that? And what does it feel like now? I think you guys play tonight, in fact, going into this tournament as the defending champion in a team that everyone has its eyes on.
You know, we really didn't change our recruiting at all. We stayed with the core schools that we've used over the last few years. We did get a couple players from a couple new schools, which, you know, we'll see how that relationship builds over the next few years. But not a lot has changed as far as the way we run things. We do. We have the 6 o'clock game tonight, which we're looking forward to having the big 90-year celebration. And we'll kick the tournament off at 6 o'clock tonight, and hopefully we can continue with the success that we had to end last year and then to end our regular season this summer.
Hey, you're playing TPA Texas. I don't know anything about TPA Texas, but I think they're probably in a little bit of trouble. We'll see. Followed at 8:30 tonight by Tulsa Sandlot against the Seattle Studs. So that'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. And your next game in this pool play will be at midnight Saturday night against Tulsa Sandlot. How do you feel about baseball around the clock returning and you guys getting a shot at midnight on Saturday?
You know, I'm actually excited that baseball around the clock is back. And, you know, they sent a questionnaire out, what times would you like to play? And, I mean, I told Katie I didn't care if it was midnight, 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a lot cooler then. And shoot, most of the guys are going to be up anyway, so we might as well be playing.
There you go.
So what is the organization's approach to pitching? I remember, you know, last year there were some unheralded guys, maybe guys who didn't get a ton of time with their college teams, and they all pitched really well. Obviously, you have to pitch really well to beat Santa Barbara and the other teams you beat. So what's the philosophy in pitching and kind of getting the most out of these guys?
You know, we tried to get our guys as many innings as we could this summer. Our starters, we still have a pitch count of 85 or finish the at-bat that you've got going. Very rarely do we get over 90 pitches. We try and get our bullpen guys as much work during the week as possible to help us throughout the summer, but to also get them innings, because you're right, a lot of the guys that we've had, you know, we get a lot of freshmen. They don't get a lot of time and innings at their schools, so we try and get them as many innings as we can in the summer. And, you know, the coaches send them to us because they've got ability. They just need to work on their craft and get better. So that's our number one goal, is to get them as much work as possible.
Talking with Mark Blackham, GM of the Hutch Monarchs, again in action tonight at X Stadium, 6 o'clock, the debut game of the 2024 NBC World Series. Some things as it pertains to college baseball. We've seen here in the last day or two that the scholarship limits are going to be increased, which it's about time, and increased significantly for both baseball and softball. We also know that some college coaches are wary about sending pitchers out to summer league teams. Where's all this headed? Are we, and we also know that in the most recent MLB draft, it was very heavy on college players and maybe a little lighter than normal on high school players. Where's all this headed, in your opinion?
You know, that is a great question, and I did find it interesting that this year it seemed like there was a lot less high school guys drafted, and they really stuck to the college players more than, you know, a lot in the last few years. I, too, am in agreement. I'm glad that they're increasing the scholarship levels. But the portal's a tough one. You know, these kids, they can sign, and if they don't like where they're at, they go somewhere else the next year. And that makes it difficult as well for the colleges to continue to build their program. So, you know, where this is headed, Bob, I wish I had that answer, because that'd be the million-dollar answer, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
Does the portal make it more difficult for teams like the Monarchs and other summer league teams?
It does. There's no doubt about that, because you touched on, you know, there's schools that don't want to send their players out during the summer. And to me, I tie that right into the portal, because they're afraid that if they send them out, they're going to get seen during the summer, and they might lose them to a different school. So it does hurt on our recruiting side as far as, you know, getting players to come, but it hasn't been huge, but I see it getting more difficult in the next few years for sure.
So I'm interested in your background a little bit, at least your evolution, because you've been involved in summer baseball for quite a long time, but in college you were a golfer. So what was that evolution like for you to go from one sport to being heavily involved in another?
You know, I've always been a huge baseball fan, so that's the easy answer to it. But my boys played summer baseball out of high school, and I helped out with some of their teams. And there were so many people that helped them get to the next level. I had one son that played junior college baseball, and I appreciated the help there. And I got the ask to help back when it was the Wichita Gators, and then it turned into the Park City Rangers. And the same gentleman that had the Rangers started up the Hutch Monarchs. And being that Hutch was my hometown, I said, I'll run that one for you. You take care of Park City. And then after 1 year, my wife and I became owners and took over the Monarchs.
Well, we always look forward to this time of year, the NBC World Series happening at X Stadium. 16 teams. We've got pool play, and then we'll get into bracket play after that. The Hutch Monarchs, the defending champs. That sounds good, doesn't it, Mark?
It sounds real good, to be honest with you.
And before I let you go, I did want to ask you about Bud Detter Field over in Hutchinson, an iconic baseball facility. My son hit one off the wall there 1 year in the summer.
Awesome.
You're going to artificial turf. Tell us about that transformation.
Yeah, this is the last. We just played the last game that'll be played on the natural grass surface at Hobart Detter, and they are bringing in AstroTurf surface next year. They're going to, 100% infield, outfield, collars, everything will be AstroTurf. And, you know, I've always been a natural grass surface guy, but from the business side of it, I understand why all these schools are going to AstroTurf. I think it's the right move, even though I am a natural grass surface guy, but I think it's the right move. I've seen the schematics. It's going to be beautiful. I'm looking forward to next year playing our first season on the new turf.
Well, it'll be interesting, and I did call it Bud Detter Field. How dare I? It's been Hobart Detter for many years, which I'm giving away my age. Oh, well.
Exactly. That's all
Mark,
right.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the time, and thank you guys.
Thanks.
Mark Blackham from the Hutchinson Monarchs. Good grief. Bud Detter Field.
Yeah, Bud Detter. Come on.
Well, it used to be Bud Detter Field. It's been Hobart Detter for
it's a decade. Not Levitt Arena anymore either.
Why are you jumping on me? I admitted my mistake.
It's not Britt Brown Arena either.
Why are you on me? Why I came clean.
I don't know. Just
I pointed it out.
Just letting you know if you're behind in any other arena
Guardians
names.
Lost, didn't they?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, that's
I'll
why.
I'll probably not watch another game this year.
That's good. I hope you don't.
I hope I don't, too.
I really hope you don't.
I hope they don't bring me back somehow. I'm done with them.
Good. We'll remember that. And Jason Duda and I'll have a
I don't care what Duda thinks.
Great talk about that
thumbs
tomorrow.
Up emoji to that.
Give him a break. He's hard at work.
Sure he is.
He's a family man. All right, when we come back, we'll have hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show. Annette Wiles, one of the greats in the history of women's basketball in the state of Kansas. She did her damage at Fort Hays State back in the day. She's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame a little bit later this year. We'll talk with her at 3:25. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff, KFH.
Phony. And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I wish I could be in the living room of somebody who's listening to this show.
Jeff Lutz.
You think they're listening in their living room?
And maybe.
It's not 1943.
It's a strange world.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Welcome back. It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz and Jeff Lutz, your co-host, Max Power. Your producer and engineer, and the IHOP hotline is 869-1240. Some updated news about IHOP.
What we got?
Well, I mean, starting very soon, next week, you can do all you can eat pancakes.
Really?
Now, that when I saw that, it brought to mind the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July
right.
every year, right?
Sure.
Where people are scarfing down hot dogs.
Right.
What would a pancake eating contest look like?
I don't know.
And should I try to get one together?
No.
As a fundraiser for League 42?
You should not.
Why?
I don't know. That doesn't feel to me like a good idea. Doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of League 42.
Don't all kids love pancakes?
But are we, is it a kids contest? I mean,
not really. It could be.
I don't know if gluttony is like just the theme I want to go for.
What do you think
for.
Of the hot dog contest?
Oh, we're going to have a karaoke.
Oh, we'll figure it out.
Celebrity karaoke.
But listen to this. This isn't a bad idea.
It's not a good idea.
It's a new idea. The only problem is, how would you go about a pancake eating contest? I can't eat a plain pancake without syrup, but if you start to pour syrup on them, you get full so quick, and the sweetness is going to get... How would you do it? What would be your strategy in a pancake eating contest?
I don't know. How do you make sure they're all the same size?
Exactly. You just do.
I guess.
You have experts doing it. Answer my question about the syrup. Because obviously, to eat more pancakes, you don't want to have syrup. What do you do? I can't eat a pancake without syrup.
I'm trying.
What's your strategy?
I could. I mean, I don't think that's
a big... What's your strategy?
Try to eat as many as I can. I don't have a strategy.
Did you do it without syrup?
Of course.
What would you put on it?
Nothing.
Plain pancake?
Yeah, I don't think...
Just batter cooked.
Yeah, it's batter. It's not... It's got sugar in it.
No butter for the batter?
I don't know, man. I'm so over this right now.
Have a discussion with me.
I was about to, but I don't have a strategy.
I want to talk about whatever you're talking about on your phone.
Pancakes?
Yeah, tell me about it. I do want to talk about that.
Fastest time to eat 10 pancakes. Andre Ortolf of Germany ate 10 pancakes in 19.46 seconds.
That's not a bad idea. Instead of more, what about... How fast?
I think that's what
not
it,
a bad idea.
I think that's
it?
What it is.
That's not a bad idea. I just
most
had.
Pancakes eaten in a minute, 113.
All right, you got 1 minute to eat as many pancakes as you can. The winner.
That can't be true. There's no way that's true.
Well, listen to my idea.
Well, it is true.
We're going to go for the
8 minutes.
We're going to go for how fast can you eat 10 pancakes?
Okay.
And we're going to enter that contest, it's $100.
No one's going to do that,
okay?
Are they?
And the prize is $1,500.
You think you're going to get enough money?
What if?
And enough entrance to where you can make a sizable profit at paying 15 people $100 or whatever, $1,500.
1,000 people enter at $100 each.
What?
That's $100,000. And I'm paying $1,500 to the winner.
That's not enough.
All right, $5,000 to the winner.
What does second place get?
$1,500.
Still, I don't think that's enough.
$2,000.
I think you got
to
give away
$2,500 to second.
If it's $100,000, you got to give away at least 30%. So $30,000.
Listen,
I would say $25,000.
I'm giving out $5,000 to the winner, $2,500 to second, and $1,000 to third.
That's too greedy. I think you got to give $25,000.
How many could I get to enter it?
Six.
You only think six people would
You know
pay
a lot of competitive eaters in Wichita?
But this is a charity thing.
No one wants to do that. No one wants to stuff their faces.
869-1240, Russ, if you'd be somebody who would enter
that contest.
Is Russ
our only listener?
If you would enter the contest, give us a call. And Max, get ready for the phones to light up.
No one would. David Michael Hahn would do it.
Okay.
That's the
Duda
only,
would do it.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, of course he would.
Duda, as I've told you, overrated when it comes to food adventurousness. He has his things that he likes, and that he's the same as everybody else.
He'd do it.
No, he wouldn't.
If you can pay $100, okay. $10,000 to the winner.
$25,000.
$5,000 to second. $2,500 to first. That's third. That's $17,500.
You got
to
give, like I said,
I got to get at least 100 signed up.
You got to give away 30% of.
But that could become a national thing.
It couldn't. It already is, and your little local.
But it's different than the hot dog eating contest.
Is that right? Not really.
Yes. All you got to do is eat 10. It's a matter of how fast.
So you're going to make people pay $100. To eat 10 pancakes. That's a bad deal off the top.
But the winner gets $10,000.
Yeah, everybody else loses $100.
So what? People do things for charity. They're not that interested in winning. They just want to help the charity.
They're interested in winning.
That's a pretty good idea.
Well, good luck. Put it together then.
What do you think of it, honestly?
I don't like it.
Why?
I told you why. I gave all the reasons.
I want you to say it again. I want listeners to hear you.
I don't think that's in the spirit. No. Stuff your face for charity. Why don't you have a pancake?
That's not a bad name.
Why don't you just have a pancake feed for charity?
Stuff your face for charity.
Why does it have to be a contest?
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
Why don't you just come in?
Would you be one of the judges?
Judges of what?
Well, you make sure they're really eating.
No, I would not.
You make sure they're really eating the pancake.
I would have absolutely nothing to do with that. If you had a pancake feed, and people could pay to eat three or four pancakes. Yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, but you can't raise that kind of money doing that. You got to put a competition to it.
No, you don't.
People love to compete.
No, they don't.
Of course they do.
No one wants to eat 10. No one. Just come on, man.
Be serious. You are in such a sour mood.
Well, be serious. You're making me comment on these unserious things.
Turn in your resignation.
I'm about to.
If you can't handle this show anymore, this show doesn't need you.
Be serious.
I am serious.
Tell me a serious idea.
I think that's a decent idea.
No, you.
So is the karaoke idea. I just got to figure out how to get it off the ground. What would you pay to compete in karaoke? You pay $100. And you got
100.
You got three songs.
No.
I got guys who are dying to run this for me.
Well, then have them do it.
You get three songs. First place, same, $10,000. Although you'd have professionals coming in to do that.
Yeah.
You don't have professional pancake eaters.
I'm sure they would do it for $10,000.
That would just be anybody on the street.
We have our guest.
Why do you dismiss me?
This is a terrible idea.
You know what? The big fella Anthony or Duda would be having the time of their lives.
No, they wouldn't. They
talking about this.
Why do you want that? Why do you want people to bow to you when you have?
Bob.
Do you really want that in your life?
No, they wouldn't say yeah, Bob. They'd just be having the time of their lives talking about it.
No, they wouldn't.
This is right.
Why do you want dishonesty?
This is right up my friend Jason Duda's alley.
No, it's not. It absolutely is not. Jason Duda would, there is a 0% chance he would do this.
Max, call Jason Duda.
I'm not saying there's even a sliver of a
chance. Max, call Jason Duda, get him on the air. I don't know. I don't care what you have to do, Max. If you don't make this happen, what?
I don't know.
You're dismissed.
Why do you want to fire everybody? What authority do you think you have? Because whatever it is, you don't.
Why do you get so?
Because I'm irritated.
I know you are, but don't let your irritation
this
with
horrible
the Cleveland
idea,
Guardians cross over to me.
This horrible idea that you will not abandon. You should abandon it right now. Say I'm done. I apologize to the audience and to
I'll
me.
I'll never apologize for an idea.
Even if it's not good?
Ideas just go through my head. They always have. And some of them work and some of them don't. But I'm never going to stop having them.
Maybe just for a couple of days stop having them.
Ideas are a part of my life. I mean, I was a writer for many years. You got to have ideas.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I still...
I think if you went to any of your previous bosses... with whatever the equivalent is, or even this idea itself, they would emphatically discourage you from pursuing it.
Max, do we have Duda?
Not yet.
All right, he's working on it. Let's ask you what you think of this idea of a pancake eating.
We know
eating
what
con.
Max is going to say. Don't you know these people well enough yet?
Max, go ahead. Don't listen to Jeff. Just tell us what you think. Either you like it or you don't. I can handle it.
He's calling Duda.
Oh,
he's
Bob, I only
listening.
Can eat 5 pancakes tops, so.
Well, there you go.
He's not much. In.
These would be dollar size.
Silver dollar pancakes?
Yeah, dollar size pancake.
I don't think that's a term.
Yeah, that's what you order, dollar size
silver
pancake.
Dollar.
I've never had a silver dollar pancake.
That's what they are. They're silver dollar pancakes.
You know what? If we can't get Duda, I'm not firing Max. I'm firing Duda.
That's fair.
What do you think of that? Are you on board?
Yeah.
Because you're not very happy with Duda.
I'm
right
not.
Now.
I don't appreciate.
You don't like that thumbs up.
I don't appreciate the disconnect he has with people in his life. He always talks about, oh, we can go 20 years and not talk, and hell, we'll pick up right. Well, why don't you just not go 20 years talking to people that you like? How about that?
Maybe it's just part of who he is. I don't know who do you think you are.
Somebody's not going to give up on friendships.
Well, do you think he's given up on your?
I think he's given up on all friendships.
Well, I think he's my friend.
He texts people in Canada, doesn't have to see them, so that's easy for him. Has to see me and deal with me, so there's some fear of vulnerability when texting me that he can't just be a human being.
You sound so weak right now.
No, I think that's what it is.
I left him a message.
He's fired, Max. Max left Duda a message. For whatever that's worth. I don't know what motivates him. He's obviously.
Have you ever seen
husband.
Him motivated?
He's obviously a good husband, a good father, a breadwinner for his family, somebody who goes to work every day and does so diligently. He's a was one of the great hockey players in this city's history.
And the more I know about him, the more that blows my mind that this guy put in time and effort into something and made it his life's work.
Well, he's going to knock you out.
It's just.
I'm going to tell you, we're going to be at the pump house tomorrow. and Darren and all the people down there at the pump house, it's going to be early. But you could have a fist fight.
Might.
And it won't last long. But you could have a little bit of a...
Dude, it was not a fighter.
You could have a little bit of a fist fight tomorrow night when Duda gets hold of Jeff.
Well, bring it.
Trust me. You don't want him to bring it.
I'm not afraid of Jason Duda.
Oh, really?
What's he going to do, not lose sleep? I mean, that's the only threat.
Why are you attacking him so violently? This makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it one bit.
Well,
I want this show to have harmony.
Just
because you got a thumbs up,
yeah,
shouldn't rattle you the way it is.
Well, I prefer a connection.
Why are you so desperate?
I prefer something.
You got David Michael Hahn for that. Enjoy that. You don't need
somewhat stimulating.
You don't need Jason Duda connection. You want too much. This is part of the problem. This is what the Jason Eadie thing
was about. It doesn't have to be.
You want to
It doesn't have to be in depth, but I would like it if you said, "Yeah, I'll be there. Sounds fun."
Like you say that?
Just be a human being.
Like you would say that.
Yeah.
Let me read some recent texts I've had with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Read me the thumbs up one I sent.
All right. Let me just read them. Skeens might become the best ever, but we beat him. Good job.
Yeah,
hey, that's really impressive. I know you only needed two runs, but that's still pretty good. Nice, you know. Here's one. I just bared my soul.
Yeah.
Alec Burleson can hit,
That's bearing your soul?
Yes.
You're more like Duda than I thought.
And here's your response. Guardians can't. I mean, just nothing. I never get anything. Here's another one. hold on a minute.
Yeah, because I'm a wonderful son.
Can you track down Caden Favors for today at 2:45? I sent you this. Last week, before we had Caden on the show, here's your response. I'll work on it. Not, boy, that's a good idea for a guess. Just a simple...
What do you think I thought it was? Of course it was a guess. I didn't need to repeat known information.
I get very little.
But if I had said, what, we want him for a guess, you'd call me the biggest idiot on earth.
No, you should have said, that's a good idea.
Well, I got him, didn't
I?
I'll
get to work on it.
And I got him.
Yeah.
I always do.
All right. We're going to take a break. Annette Wiles, formerly of Fort Hays State University, one of the all-time greats in women's basketball, certainly at that school and really in the state of Kansas. We'll talk with Annette next. Annette Wiles joins us, formerly of Fort Hays State University, longtime coach in women's basketball, and now the director of the Hummer Sports Complex in Topeka. She is going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame in October after, man, what a career you had. Thank you, Annette, for coming on the show today.
Absolutely. I couldn't be more excited to be with you.
Well, you know, we try to do our research, and we notice both Jeff and I, my son, who does the show with me, that you're from Hunter, Kansas, and I like to think I've heard of most towns in the state of Kansas. I love the state of Kansas. I was a high school sports reporter for a long, long time, but that one got me. Hunter, Kansas. Tell us about that upbringing.
Well, Hunter, Kansas is up in north central Kansas, and it's a town of about 100 people. My dad was the longtime mayor for over 30 years of our little town as I was a kid growing up in it. We went to Sylvan Grove, to Sylvan Unified High School is where I went to high school. And, you know, Hunter is just straight north off of I-70, exit 209, and it's by the fabulous Wilson Lake. I know that's a lot of lake destinations of people in Kansas, and it's not horribly far north of Wilson Lake.
Do they have a cafe? Because my wife and I like to go on day trips. Should we go to Hunter?
We have the Hunter Cafe, and it is the best food around. I continue to be excited about a cheeseburger from Kay, and there's always the Friday fried chicken, and she has the lunch specials for $5.99. So, you know, you can't go wrong with a drive up to Hunter to the Hunter Cafe.
I love that. Go ahead, Jeff.
So, Annette, what kind of opportunities did you have to continue your basketball career following high school? This was the early 90s. We're not talking about ancient times or anything like that. but how did you kind of make your way to Fort Hayes, and where else maybe did you consider?
Well, the best thing that happened to my career is Mike Weatherman became our basketball coach in high school, and he was just a very incredibly knowledgeable football coach, boys basketball coach, and he eventually saw the talent that we had in our girls basketball program in our small school, and he welcomed to become our head coach. And that's what really propelled my high school career, was having such a quality individual becoming our head coach. My sister and I both played. She's 2 years younger. We both played on the high school teams that we were fortunate to be able to go to the state tournament my junior and senior year, and we were an undefeated state championship game team. And I just thank the Lord that Coach Weatherman came into our life as our high school coach. And then I fortunately, through my career in high school, back in the archaic days of the 80s and the early 90s, they actually kept score, and I happened to lead all classes 1A through 6A in girls basketball and scoring in the state of Kansas.
Wow.
So I was recruited by most of the schools, and that time was the Big Eight, and visited KU, visited K-State, visited Mizzou. And I used to get a Sunday night phone call at 6 p.m. every night from the University of Hawaii. And I always thought that was the coolest thing, that I might be playing basketball in Hawaii. But my parents said they'd never come see me play, so I wrote them off very early in my recruiting process.
I would have come to see you play a couple times.
That would have been a positive for me. So
I used to enjoy talking to them about what the weather was.
There you go. Annette Wiles is our guest. She's going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. In her career at Fort Hays State, she scored 2,407 points. That's a lot of points. She had a tremendous basketball career. And you followed that directly into coaching. It's almost as if basketball kind of consumed your life. Annette, how'd that come about?
I think basketball and sports in general have always been a vehicle in my life. I mean, they're the things that propelled me to a college education, to a master's degree in athletic administration, and have propelled my life. And I've always looked at sports as that vehicle. Once I was recruited to Fort Hays, played for John Klein and Tom Burkhart. And, you know, I stand on the shoulders of a lot of great teammates. I have other teammates that are equally in Fort Hays Hall of Fame. We were just a really hardworking, blue-collar group of Kansas kids that wanted to win. And, you know, for the fortune of my senior year winning the national championship and being the most valuable player, I think were the highlights of my collegiate career. And as a part of that, just being a result of being a post player, I was fortunate to score a lot of points and get a lot of rebounds, because I always joked I also used to lead Fort Hays in the rebound category, because I also missed a lot of shots, got my own rebounds and put them in. But being a team that was able to win a national championship, and then I was asked to stay on as the graduate assistant, and then that kind of propelled, and I owe a lot to my coaches and my teammates at Fort Hays. I stand on their shoulders in receiving an honor like this, because we were certainly a great team and accomplished a lot of great things.
When you got into coaching, obviously you were pretty young. really young for the profession, especially. So, what did you see for yourself at that time? Did you expect to make a life of it? You kind of did, but you've also now gotten into the administration side as well. So, was that a mindset shift for you to do that, or was that kind of just an evolution for what you wanted to do?
Well, I was blessed that there was a search committee at Bethany College looking for a young coach with a lot of energy, and I was able to land my first head coaching job there at Lindsberg at Bethany College when I was 23, and recruited a lot of very talented academic and athletic kids. We were able to go to four national tournaments, and then the greatest phone call of my life was when Dr. Hammond called and asked me to be invited back to being the head coach at Fort Hays. And I think a lot of athletes dream of those moments of being invited back home. And being able to go back to Fort Hays, you know, over an 8-year career, and being able to go to two national tournaments, and then the opportunity to coach at the University of Minnesota, never lived out of the state of Kansas, wanted to venture out of the boundaries of Kansas, and lived in the Northland for 7 winters, which I think is an accomplishment in itself. And then there was just time, and life happens. I have a daughter that was actually born on the opening day of college basketball season, and you start to realize that your life shifts, your parents are getting older, you want to be back around your family and friends that you grew up, and it was a natural progression to move back to Kansas. And life happened, and now I work for Topeka Public Schools as the district athletic director and also the director of Hummer Sports Park, our $1 million sports complex, and absolutely love it and still am a part of the sports. I enjoy all of the things that come with the administrative side of life in athletics.
Annette Wiles is our guest going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame. Well deserved, that ceremony coming up in October in Topeka. So I've read about how you reacted when you were told about this Hall of Fame induction. You got a little emotional, didn't you?
I know, I did. And eventually on that day in October, I'm going to have to find the gentleman that was actually the person calling me, because he said it's one of the joys of what he gets to do to inform the inductees. And it was a difficult period of time for many minutes of gathering myself, because I was genuinely overcome with emotion, and being a proud native Kansan, you know, you've been born and raised your whole life. And obviously my first phone call was to my parents for thanking them for giving me birth and being the supportive parents to drive a career in sports. And I just was overcome. And I started thinking about the greats like Lynette Woodard, and I started thinking about the Jackie Styles, and I start thinking about people, and to know that you're in that same sentence and that breath with them, it's just an honor and genuinely a privilege that just overwhelmed me. So, yeah, it was very humbling.
Well, you mentioned Lynette and Jackie, and there's been this incredible renaissance or explosion of women's basketball over the past several years. I think Caitlin Clark certainly has driven that, but there are several others who are along for that ride. How gratifying is it to see women's basketball gain in popularity the way it has?
Absolutely. And I think it's just the excitement. I think so much of it is the sponsorships and the boosters and the drive of universities and college and support of programs and student athletes. And I think one of the greatest parts of women's basketball, one of the things I was always the most proud about, even as a head college coach, over a 25-year college coaching career, I had a 96% graduation rate of all of the players that played in my programs for 4 years. And as a part of that, you're just seeing people with amazing stories. And I think that's what you're finally starting to see, is the true stories of women's basketball and where we all come from, and how we go through the grind and the work and put the time in. And it is fun to see the women's sport. It's fun to see all women's sports growing in sponsorship and popularity. And again, it's just a joy and a journey. And so much of that is because of the women that came before us. And we stand on the shoulders of many women in the decades prior to our time. And I wish to pass that on and pass the torch to others in the future of their careers.
Well, you hold a bunch of career records at Forte State in all kinds of categories, single season records galore. This is a well-deserved honor. We're happy to have the opportunity to talk to you. And as great as you've been in this interview, you were never able to top your suggestion for the Hunter Cafe, Annette.
Well, Kay will thank me, and the community of Hunter will thank me when they say that you came and had the cheeseburger at the Hunter Cafe. So it's worth the drive and worth your time.
We're definitely going to make that happen. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And look forward to being in the Hall of Fame, which is located there in Wichita, and just absolutely can't be more thrilled for my family, my teammates, and my coaches. So just very blessed.
You've had an amazing life, and we appreciate it. We'll hopefully talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you. Wish you the best.
All right. Annette Wiles. Boy, I like that interview a lot. Going into the Kansas Sports Hall of Fame, huh?
I said good stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. And you know what she'd have said if I'd asked her about a pancake eating contest? She would have said, go for it. That's what I believe. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to have a guy on who's doing one of those things where 3,000 miles across the country, a goal of raising $1 million, riding his bike 225 miles.
Know he could have just had a pancake eating contest?
I'm reading all this stuff, and he's a Wichita guy, and we're going to talk to him tomorrow on the show by the name of Mark Wiggins.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to happen at 2:45 tomorrow. I'm always amazed by those guys.
Well, they put a lot of time in and are genetic
freaks. How
much the farthest
you could ride a bike
now? Probably not that far.
A mile, two?
It depends on how fast I go. But I could probably ride for a while, slowly.
You know, back in the day, I think you rode a bike some. I rode one.
Yeah, I like riding bikes.
All over Derby, just going out and rode. Never thought a thing about it. Parents never thought a thing about it. I'm not even sure they knew I was gone.
It was harder here. But I rode a bike a lot in Ohio because we lived in a little subdivision. You could ride around the neighborhood.
I just rode everywhere. Yeah. Didn't matter if it was a subdivision or not.
Well, in the city, it's hard. It's harder to ride a bike in the city. You got to get on sidewalks, and there are not as many side streets you can go on. It just is what it is. But I like riding bikes.
I just rode it out in the main street. I rode it along K-15 a lot.
There were 8 cars in 3 hours, but yeah.
Why do you say that about Derby when I was growing up?
It was a small town when you were growing up.
6,000, 7,000 people.
It's pretty small.
Wasn't that small. I mean, we were a 4A high school. I had 375 people in my graduating class. I didn't grow up in Hunter, Kansas, for crying out loud.
Well, you might as well have.
Really? That's what...
Yeah. Was there even a cafe in Derby while you were there?
Sure there was.
What was the name of it?
I can't remember the name of it. There were several.
Good.
There was one that had tremendous chicken fried steak.
Do you wish towns like Derby, obviously they want to grow, but growing to where they have a bunch of chains and you push out some of the local businesses, how do you feel about stuff like that?
I don't have the sentimental thoughts about Derby that I wish I did.
You don't?
No, because it has grown. It's almost unrecognizable. I have sentimental thoughts about my childhood and the Derby of then.
Right. I think that's what that is.
But I don't go to Derby today and think, oh, I just love this place. I love growing up there. I'm proud to be from Derby. I loved that town when I was a kid. I mean, there was no, in my opinion, now everybody thinks this, there was no place better to grow up.
Not everybody.
A lot of people think that.
I guess.
I had a great time in Derby. My friends were glad. I grew up in a neighborhood where there were a bunch of kids. So finding someone to play with or do something outdoors was never a challenge. There were a bunch of kids who were athletic, liked to play baseball and basketball and football, so that was always fun. So every day, when the weather was conducive, we were doing something sports-wise outside.
Of course.
Who wouldn't want to grow up in that?
Doesn't surprise me at all.
If you're a sports person like I was.
No question.
Every morning, you like these nostalgia stories.
Yeah, they're the best.
You fed me right into it. So during the baseball season, every morning we would get up early, and there were three or four of us, and we would go out and start to play catch really early in preparation for the noon game down at the ball field at Pleasant View Elementary. There was a noon game every day.
It's fantastic.
And we'd start preparing for it around 8:30, 9 o'clock.
A little early. Probably wore yourself out for the noon start, but it's all right.
No, it was fun. I'd get a bullpen in.
You would?
Sure.
No, you
Why
wouldn't.
Are you laughing?
You wouldn't get a bullpen in.
Of course
in.
I'd get
no
a bullpen in.
No one's down there catching
in.
You in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Nobody. Who was your bullpen catcher?
Steve Wilson.
He was? Wilson?
He's been on this show.
Sounds like you made
he made
that up.
Fun of me because my mother was protective of me.
He did?
Yeah, you don't remember that? I'll never have him on again.
What'd he call you?
A little baby or something.
That's unfortunate.
Well, I don't know what he called me. He just
I
mentioned
mean, as
that.
A kid.
That's the thing he remembers most about.
Oh.
Which,
did you get bullied as a kid by anybody?
No more than anybody else got bullied.
Well, what would they call you, though?
Yeah, you know.
What were some of the bully nicknames?
Yeah, you know. I got bullied a little bit.
Ugly Bob.
But my mom always came to the rescue.
Well, that's good for her.
What'd you say they called me?
Nothing.
No, what'd you say?
I said Ugly Bob.
Ugly Bob.
Yeah. Is that what they called?
That's what you're calling me.
No, I'm just asking.
You're
is
calling
that what,
me ugly.
No, I'm asking if that's
so
what
you
they,
think I was ugly?
No, I'm asking if that's what
no,
they
you've
called
seen
you.
You've seen pictures of me as a kid.
Sure I have.
Do you think I'm ugly?
No, I'm asking...
Well, then why would they call me ugly?
I don't know, Matt. I just had to throw something out
there. Would I have ever
there.
Said that to you? What'd they call you? Homely Jeff?
They did, actually, yes.
Yeah, so I would have said that.
No, I'm asking if that's what they called you.
You why? But why would you even think of that?
That's just the first thing that came to mind.
You had to believe that I was ugly as a child.
No, absolutely
that
not.
That had to be what popped into your head. Well, if you got bullied, what would be the reasons?
Ugly Bob.
Well, he was pretty ugly.
You're obviously extremely handsome now, but
well, I don't get it.
I just don't
so
know
I was, wasn't. I was.
I don't know. I wasn't alive. That's why I'm asking.
But I was ugly as a child.
I don't. I have no
based
idea.
Based on the photos you've seen.
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't know.
I was ugly. Say it.
I'm not gonna say it.
You're saying that as a child, way back 60, 65 years ago. Whereas I think I
there's
was
no there's no
adorable,
child there's no ugly children
that I was ugly physically ugly
no
then why'd you say it
it's funny
I think you turned off a lot of people with
yeah,
that comment.
You think so
no, seriously
I think I made a lot of
I
people
think a
happy
a lot of people are saying you know what until Bob gets another co-host
I'm not
I'm done with
out.
This show
that could be it
and what I'll say to those people is I'm working on it. Did we hear back from Duda?
Of course. What do you think? Did he send a thumbs up or a K?
Apparently we didn't.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Now, remember, we've got our show get-together tomorrow.
We do.
At the pump house.
Max coming? He's not because he's got it.
Max has dogs to feed, which is basically the equivalent, not of a thumb up, but a middle finger up.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No, I had to let them out. They've been in the house. One's barely a year old.
Take 10 minutes, Max. Then you can come.
We'll do that and then come to the pump house.
And I got
to
feed them and they got to go out.
Yeah. Well, we'll miss you.
You want to go karaoke in afterwards?
No.
All right.
The big fella Anthony's going to be there.
He is.
So is the program director, Tony Deuce.
Really? What an outing this will be.
Should I invite? My good friend Ted Woodward?
If you want. He's not a part of the show, so that seems a little
it is
excessive.
A little odd. But we could do our Shocker Old Men routine.
And David and I could sit at the other end of the table. Yeah, invite If you're going to invite Ted, invite 12 or 14 others so we can distance ourselves as much as possible.
Really?
Sure.
So you're a mean-spirited person.
I am not. Ted would laugh at that.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate Max, who we wish could be there tomorrow night. Maybe he'll think of a way to do it. We hope so. We'll see you tomorrow.